You know what's really cool that we don't talk about enough?
What?
Like letterpress printing. Have I?
Yeah, we've never talked about that. No, what's that? What's that?
Bro, let me show you a picture. I don't know what got me into it. I think I maybe just saw it on Instagram or something. Because what my brother does, what Jack does, is he like gets little wood blocks. Has he shown you these? He like gets wood blocks. It's super cool. And he'll basically, he like carves into the wood block the image he wants. And then he rolls it over with ink and then like presses it into the paper. And then it pulls away and there's an image. I'll show you a picture of something he made.
Wait, so the final image is on the paper?
Yes.
Okay, so you're left with a cool-looking piece of paper, and the wood block is just incidental.
Yes. But see, even, like, some people will, like, sell the wood blocks as, like a souvenir, almost. So he made that. Like, he carved that, which I know the viewer can't see. It's a
Sorry,
skull
viewer.
With a quote underneath it.
Okay, but, so it's just a really intricate, nice-looking ink.
Yeah.
Could you print that and have it be 99% as good? I guess it would look kind of different because there's some depth to it, probably.
Yeah, like I think it's the thing that's appealing to people is the imperfect, like human made. You know,
I don't like that caption,
dude. Yeah,
I don't like that caption.
Jack, he made basically it's a skull for the listener, and it's the quote is it's a skull looking at you and it says, "What you are now, I used to be. What I am now, you will be."
Very cheery.
Which is, yeah. So it's something that, actually in Practicing the Way, John Mark Comer talks about how the monks would used to, like they would have a sign on the graveyard that would say, what you are, we used to be, and what we are, you will be. And so it's just like to remind them that life is not eternal on earth and that it will come to an end. And so everything you do every day matters.
Has Owen showed you his death whistle that he 3D printed? He showed you that.
His death whistle?
It's a skull he printed out. It has a spot you blow air into with your mouth because it's a whistle. And it makes the most horrifying shrieking sound I've ever heard in my entire life.
That's really funny.
So I was home like in the kitchen one time. I heard someone like screaming for their life upstairs. And I was like, well, someone's just dying upstairs. Like my heart just dropped. And I'm like trying to figure out what it is. And here comes Owen smiling real big. With his like death whistle, Aztec death whistle,
oh,
and he blows
gosh.
Into it, just like blows my ears out with this screeching noise. Look up like in YouTube, like blowing Aztec death whistle in the park at 3 a.m. And
oh,
it's like,
gosh.
Imagine, and then the whole deal is like, imagine being surrounded by like Aztec warriors in 45 BC.
Oh my gosh!
And like
and
in
then
the woods,
whistle.
And they just attack you, and it'd be pretty crazy.
No, he didn't show me the death whistle. That's pretty cool. Does he have a 3D printer, or do you guys?
I think it's technically his. I guess I could use it if I want to, but it's downstairs, so it's no wood press machine, but it's a, you know, we can print some stuff.
Yeah, my Sam just got one of those. My other brother, Sam, who's actually, he's also been, well, he was on our old podcast.
But it shall remain nameless.
Shall remain nameless. our old podcast called Bleep.
Bleep. Oh, my goodness.
But
we should have him on again.
That would be kind of fun, yeah.
It'd be good.
Fun. Just all my siblings, like, oh, what if we did all my siblings at once?
See, there are not enough microphones and USB cables and things in the world to do that.
We'd have to, like, pass the mic kind of deal, you know? But then you'd lose out on the, yeah.
Then we'd lose out on the real-time.
I mean,
that'd be a nightmare to edit, I can say that.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe we could do a couple of them. Like, all the little ones. I mean, not the little ones, they're not little, but, like, the ones younger than me, like Sarah, Jess, and
yeah,
John.
Yeah, that works.
You know? Because, like... Yeah, we could get the mics, I think.
Yeah, that could be good. I'll leave the logistics up to you, but that
could
be good.
Dude, that would be so fun, actually. They'd be so awkward.
Which one
nervous.
Is more? Which one of the siblings is the most charismatic?
Oh, gosh. Which is the most charismatic?
Of the young ones, like...
Define
Sam
what
and Jack
was...
have their own type of charisma to them.
Yeah, of the young ones.
Well, which one on the youngest is, like, going to steal the show?
Honestly, probably the other ones are going to get mad at me. Not listening to this. Come
no,
on.
They'll never listen to this.
Probably John.
See, I was literally going to say John.
I think that, I mean, they all like are their own people.
Yeah, they're all their own person.
I think that John would probably be the least shy.
That sounds right.
In front of a microphone.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You know? So, not that, I mean, it, just because, I mean, when people normally, like even when we've had guests in the past, like people are just, even though this is just a, it's just you and me talking to each other. People get nervous because there's a microphone and it's getting recorded and, you know, so.
Yeah, I think John's got some quiet confidence to him. So I think he'd be doing well.
Yeah.
And they'll never listen to it, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
We'll forgive them. We have so much to talk about. We didn't record last month, but here we are for the loyal listeners once again. And we, I've got quite a bit to do. So Joe kind of left me with some homework and some different things here. I did listen to F1 Trillion Long Bed.
You did?
And man, was that good.
Dude, I know.
Like the one where he talked about his daughter. Like, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. That's
I was like, this one's got to be Joe's favorite by far because it's just like pandering to Joe. But that one, I think, probably literally was my favorite.
That was your favorite one?
I think so. I might have to re-listen. But that was the one that kind of stuck in my memory as being really good, where I was like just sort of shaking my head in disbelief how clever it was. Like,
yeah,
she'll always be mine. Like the daughter, like, mm-hmm. you know, you might think you can marry her or whatever, but yep. she'll always
be. It was really, really good. Yeah. I think.
Which now I'm saying it loud sounds kind of creepy, but trust me, it was sweet when both Malone did it.
Yeah. No, it's really good. And I think so. Fallen in Love, Dead at the Honky Tonk, Killed a Man.
Dead at the Honky Tonk is really good.
Really? I didn't like that one very much.
Come on now.
That's crazy. Killed a Man, Ain't How It Ends, Hey Mercedes, Go to Hell, Two Hearts, Who Needs You, and Back to Texas. Who Needs You is my favorite on the extended edition. I think maybe my favorite in the whole album is either between What Don't Belong to Me or Right About You.
Okay, that's fair. See, I'm not an expert at it. I just like casually listen to it once, so I'd have to probably go back.
No, that's fair, that's fair, that's fair.
Western Swing is really good.
Yeah.
That's what I'd call that the genre a little bit. Yes, it's country, but there's some Western Swing. Which Western Swing is like the steel guitar, you know, like the thing that plays in cars one all the time.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Oh, so good. But this one.
Yep, that's Western Swing.
Dude. And the steel.
Yeah, the steel guitar in the background is awesome. So fun fact, I have played on one Western Swing album that never got released by someone
who
remained nameless.
Did you sign an NDA?
Yes.
Did you really?
No, not really.
Oh,
it was
my gosh, kind of, that's crazy.
I'm not sure why he never released it, but anyway, there's a couple unreleased Western Swing albums. I put by this one artist that we know. I played on one of them, and it doesn't sound very good. I've gotten much better now, but I remember I was in the studio for some of it just watching, because obviously, like, if you're 9-year-old or 10-year-old Zach or whatever, and you get to go to this literal music studio, and, like, there's an actual sound engineer who knows what he's doing.
That's really cool.
And, like, sound engineer's wife, who I think also knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
Like, working on stuff. And it's, like, it's funny how long it takes. Like, he would, like, the fiddle player in question who made the album would, like, do so many takes and record them all, and it's like, those weren't very good. And he's, like, an hour, and we've not even done the first 10 seconds of the song.
Oh,
he's like,
gosh.
Let's try again. And he's just, like, trying and trying. You thought the fiddle was slow. Like, this guy comes in with a steel guitar who knows how to play. He was really good, but it's like, that take wasn't quite that good. And then he just like works on it and works on it and works on it. And like, let's take, you know, this section and this section, and this section, and stitch them together. Cause he's like, his whole philosophy, I mean, it's like this with any studio, but it has to be perfect. Cause people are going to listen back and listen back and listen back.
Mm.
It can't be live where it's like, it didn't sound that good, but it's once it's live, it's gone, whatever.
Mm.
There's a mistake. It goes right by. It's like, we have to do it right and get a good take.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, I feel like he didn't get that many takes. I feel like, he got a good bit, but they were like, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I played on that album, and it was just surprising how many takes it took. So every time I hear like that steel guitar or anything, I'm just...
You just think about that one guy.
Man, that took forever. Like, they must have been in there forever.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was some Nashville professional who got it right the first time, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Good album. So thanks for recommending F1 Trillion Long Bed by
Post Malone. Absolutely. Glad you enjoyed it.
I did watch Curious George, the movie, which
really?
Is really nostalgia.
Yeah.
I forgot that he like falls in love with the kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'd forgot about
that's
that.
Sweet.
And they like almost kiss, and then he's like, Curious George is floating away. And he's like, it's very nice. It's like that kind of had me cracking up.
Yeah.
So good movie. Not a ton to say.
Did you like the soundtrack?
I did, of course.
Come on. Jack Johnson.
So honestly, no notes. I don't have anything super intelligent to say. I just watched
it. That's fair. That's
I
good.
Tried to watch, read The Desert Fathers. I found it so horrifically boring.
Really?
it's the same problem I have with Proverbs, where it's like just hitting you with a bunch of unrelated information, like bam, unrelated information that's really profound that you could spend your entire life on. Another random piece of unrelated information that you so profound you could spend your life on. And it's like my brain just sort of shuts down a little. So
yeah.
Maybe someday.
No, I get it's not something I've read all the way through. And like, I think it's more of like maybe like seasonally, I'll like look at different passages for different like struggles that I'm going through, or you know,
it's sort of trying to eat the entire Chick-fil-A menu at once.
Yeah, like, honestly, that's a good way to say
it. I probably couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And then the perhaps most important, and I have the most to say about this, Over the Garden Wall.
Oh yeah,
my review on this, because we got together and I said I watched it, and then I said we'll save it for the show.
Yeah.
And my review is, what the heck is going on in this show? What in the world are they doing? Like,
yeah,
what is going
on? Did you like it?
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah,
I loved it. Good, good.
But what in the world? What in the world?
To the listener, if you haven't seen the show, you should go watch the show before you
listen. And pause the podcast and don't do anything. And then once it's watched, because obviously spoilers are happening.
Not that we could really spoil much because there's not... It's not super clear, but there's still some things you should.
We can spoil what happens, but the problem is there's just so much interpretation. Spoilers, 3, 2, 1, starting now. Pause the podcast. Last warning.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think
so weird.
There's a mythicalness.
There is. It's like so ambiguous what's going on.
It really is. And it's like, I don't know. To me, that's what keeps it interesting. That's why I go back every year and watch it, you know? Which I try to do like sometime in the month of October.
It's been a bit. So, cause I watched it around Halloween too. So what's the two brothers' name? They've already left my memory.
Greg is the small one. Okay. And Wirt
is the weird old one.
Well, who's voiced by, Frodo from, Lord of the Rings. What's his name?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know. I just can't remember his name either, but yeah, I got you.
And then, the woodsman is voiced by, Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
Great Scott.
Yeah. 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 That guy. Yeah, so was there anything specifically confusing?
all of it? Okay, so I think I kind of know what's going on. So Wirt and his brother, Greg, are out on this expedition on a Halloween night. They're dressed in their costumes or whatever. They somehow, for reasons I don't fully understand, go in this graveyard. And then this police officer comes and is like, what are you kids doing? And then they run away and then somehow like go over the garden wall. Haha, I see what they did there. And like tumble down a big hill and go into the freezing cold lake. How exactly that happens, I'm not fully sure, but it's like they somehow don't know there's a lake there or something and then somehow go in the lake. And then you find out they've just been like at kind of like super cold and in the lake and sort of falling down this whole time. And I guess their souls are transported to this magical world that's all the other episodes.
Yeah.
Is that what it's supposed to
be? Well, so there's a couple different things basically. So what everything that you just described you don't get to know that until
that's the
second to last episode.
Yeah, you find that at the very end.
And so like basically like they just walk through the woods.
You watch the show and they're in this weird mythical
world. It's almost like a dream.
You have no clue.
The dream just kind of starts midway through.
Because that's what I thought. I was like, nothing here makes any sense. Like this is either they're dreaming, this is they're in some coma. This is clearly like something's going on. Yeah. But you can't tell what it is.
Yeah.
And so in the first episode, you meet like this woodsman guy who's played by Doc Brown, whatever his name, Christopher Lloyd. And he's like, turn back now, it's not safe.
Yeah, yeah.
And he warns them about the beast that's going to like come and devour them or whatever. It's like, well, that's unsettling. And then they are like untrusting of him, so they break out of his house.
Yep.
And, you know, and then meet this bird and all this weird stuff happens.
What's her name?
Beatrice.
Beatrice.
Thank you.
Yep.
And I was like, well, that seems kind of weird as well, but because each episode, go ahead.
Pumpkin episode.
Man, that's creepy.
Dude.
that's probably my favorite. Yeah, they go to this weird town, and these pumpkins are like maybe gonna steal their soul or something.
Oh my gosh!
And then they make them work and like dig their own graves.
It's almost like Brothers Grimm.
It is, but it's like super compressed. It's like I feel like this could have done a whole movie on this, but it's like 10 minutes. Like sometimes with Phineas and Ferb and these really short episodes that you watch, it's like no time to waste. We're gonna like bam, 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 bam. We're just hitting you with all this stuff.
And it came out in like 2014, but I really think
it feels
like when I first saw it, it was like 2021, and I was like, oh, this is recent, like short form video, you know, it's a thing.
When really it was 2014,
but it was like a mini series in 2014. There's so much mystery. The form factor is you can watch the whole thing in 100 minutes, which
because each episode is about 10 minutes.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's like an hour and a half ish, you know, maybe a little bit, hour and 45. It's charming, you know, the humor of Greg and like the way that Wirt and Beatrice kind of go back and forth. And then some of the side characters, the highwayman and the horse that talks
this weird school teacher, it's like getting married to this like other guy.
Why did you do me wrong, Jimmy Brown?
Joe's clearly watched it more than me, but it's like,
I really have.
And then he like gets eaten by a bear or something.
Yeah, well,
it's all very strange.
He like gets into the costume. He went away to work in the circus. So I think
eaten by a bear, but he's really in a costume.
It was like a bear costume he got stuck in. And so,
which is like so ridiculous. I know.
And then he couldn't let himself out for some reason. And
do you want to know my favorite episode?
Yeah, go.
Do you guess what my favorite episode was?
Probably episode 9 when it explains everything.
No. So the episode that was really good that I actually rewatched, I don't remember what it was called, but I remember there was this one lady that was like, the ringing of the bell commands
you. My gosh.
That episode freaked the heck out of me. And dude, it was also awesome. I was like, this episode is incredible. Like, just this by itself is like worth watching the whole show.
That episode freaks me out.
We won't spoil too much, but I was like, oh my gosh.
This is a kid's show?
What the what?
Yeah. That episode always gets me.
And then you have to rewatch it again.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
yep.
Just go see it, but you have to rewatch it again. It's like, oh, they worded these things very cleverly to make it seem like one thing was going on, really another thing was going on.
So what's interesting is, so what you learn in the last second to last episode, when the story is at its climax, is that, you know, really they're kids in real life and they just so happen to stumble over this graveyard wall, over the garden wall into a lake, and now they're like, basically that the whole thing has been
instantaneous,
kind of a dream. Yeah. But then you're faced with the fact that Greg also knew when they're out on the other side, Greg also is talking about things that happened. So it wasn't just one of them that had a dream. It was both of them in the same dream, which is weird. And something happens. There's a physical remnant.
There's some like frog or something. Yeah. So the frog nearby that shows, like,
spits
it wasn't
up something from the, like, show.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but yeah, there.
But it's like, so there's a remnant in the real world of this thing. So then some people are like, well, it's like representative of Dante's Inferno, like seven levels of hell. Like,
people are reading all these different things
into
it. Yeah,
some of it's like, yeah, they got transported in like to a spiritual realm.
Between life and death kind of was the thought, I think. Because I was looking up what is the meaning, and like, I got to 20 different pages that had 20 different things, and no one knows what the show means.
Which is, I think, another reason why we love it so much, is because there's not a clear answer. So you watch it, and I still notice things, like, and this is the fourth year I've watched it in a row, you know, and like, it's fun. It's like a tradition, and it's very, and that's the other thing, like, you even mentioned it, if you think about it, like, they're in the lake the whole time and their bodies are getting colder, and the show as you go gets colder and colder.
Actually, it starts
the woods are very lush and full, and then the leaves start to turn brown, and then they fall off, and then by the end of it's snowing. And so I've always loved that, because it's like, oh, it's like winter time, like we've just been in the summer. It feels very fall-ish to me, or Halloween.
But then you realize it's like, oh, their bodies are just creeping toward death,
yeah,
and they're cold.
Exactly. And that, so it's probably like the outside circumstances, almost like, I don't know, when you are falling in a dream and then you wake up and you've fallen out of your bed or something, you know, like
that's only happened once to me, but yeah, definitely not fun. Don't recommend.
Anyway, I think that's why it's so, like, again, the charming humor, like the weirdness, like the quirkiness that like is funny, you know, and just like the fact that there's not really an answer to anything is really,
yeah,
I think that's what draws people back.
Also, what do we read of the beast? Because the whole deal was the woodsman has to like harvest people's souls to keep the lantern there.
Yeah.
And then like his daughter will die somehow if he doesn't, or his daughter's inside the lantern or something.
Yes.
And I was like, still don't really know what's happening there.
So yeah, I think how that works is that in this universe, whatever it is, if it's a dream or whatever, so kids who get lost in the woods, like eventually, I think that the theme is they give up and they lose hope. And so they lay down and they fall asleep, and essentially they die, or they become like the Edelwood grows around them, and then they become an Edelwood tree. And so then now the woodsman, I don't think, knows that until the end of the show. But basically he has this lantern, and the beast makes him believe that his daughter's soul, who died, is in the lantern.
Presumably the daughter just turned into a tree, but the beast is telling him that the daughter's inside the lantern.
In order to like keep the lantern going, he has to harvest the Edelwood trees. Mm-hmm. But what they find out at the end is that really it's the beast, like the lantern keeps the beast alive, not his daughter. And so that's why like they're just like, screw you, beast, like you're lying. You know what I mean? I don't know how or like why.
So doesn't he like the woodsman smash the lantern or something in the end?
Yes.
And then you see like for one split second like this horrifying face of
death.
Dude,
that
scared the crap.
I get goosebumps every single time.
Because like this horrifying disfigured face.
And we can have a whole
other
conversation about that. Like
what the heck is that?
The scariest stuff is the stuff you can't see.
You couldn't, because you can never see the beast. It's like always just a shadow.
It's just his eyes.
It's like, it is I, the beast.
Yeah, and his voice is so low.
With insanely
low. And he yodels like in the first opera.
Yeah.
Dude, it's just like, again, like, The scariest villains are the ones you know the least about.
Well, because it was, I went back and like paused on that exact frame. It's like, oh, it's not like that scary, but it's like, Just it's like, this weird disfigured face that just pops out of nowhere. Yeah. It's like enough to just scare you.
It's freaky.
Like the old school YouTube screamer videos. It's just like there so suddenly.
Yep.
Like,
oh my God. That's exactly what it's like, actually. It's really good. I hope you liked it. I'm glad you liked it, I guess.
Yeah, thanks for the recommendation.
Absolutely.
Very entertaining. Because I think with the first episode, I was like, what? And the second episode, I was like, what? And then third episode, I was like, what? And then the fourth episode, I was like, oh, I'm invested now.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
But as they say, it took a few seasons. Trust me, it gets good in season 45.
Yeah.
Just keep it going.
Yeah. And I think, like, again, to me, I know it's more than just the show at this point. Like, it's a tradition and, like, there's a lot of it is like that's a big part of it for me. So like Soren will come down every October and because that's I watched it, him and me and Jake watched it in 2021 in our apartment. And so like there's nostalgia involved. And so like, you know, I'll always probably do it now because it's just a tradition. And it really is a sweet show. Again, if you haven't seen it, listener, you should go and watch it because it's really good. It's on Hulu, I think. Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Is this some metaphor for like the devil, how we just like can't, we like feed the devil with our own sin, either sin or actions or something. And then if we don't do that, then the devil dies. Is there there's some biblical way to do it? I feel like we're at the cusp of some sort of sermon metaphor and I just
I think the biggest illustration is the lies, you know,
that's probably what it is. Like, my thing.
He lies, like the beast lies
and says like, if you don't do this, your undoing will soon follow or whatever. But in reality, you know, it's doing your own doing is just your own undoing and feeding the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you starve it, it's like it goes away or whatever.
Yep.
So there's some way to do a sermon metaphor there. I'm just not smart enough.
Yeah. And then like in the truth, well, I mean, the light, you know, the light shows what's real, which is that he's a misshapen, you know, horrible person, you know, like
there's somehow someone make a sermon out of this.
Someone,
ask ChatGPT.
Let's ask AI. Yeah. Are you really gonna do it?
Let's try to use ChatGPT.
Oh my gosh, you type so aggressively. Has anybody ever told you that?
Yes. Oh man.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Over for preachers. This seems decent. Should
He's
we read it
quoting
out?
Quoting First Peter. I think you should. Yeah, I mean,
the beast in over the garden wall is a haunting figure, shrouded in shadow and secrecy, thriving on despair and leading others to lose themselves in hopelessness. His presence is insidious, never outright forcing anyone to act, but subtly luring them into dependence on his twisted promises. This echoes the role of the devil in scripture, a tempter who does not destroy outright, but whispers half-truths and illusions to lead us astray. Not bad. In 1 Peter 5:8, we are warned to be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The beast's manipulation of souls, urging them to fuel his darkness by succumbing to despair, mirrors the devil's method of working through our vulnerabilities. Both thrive when we lose sight of truth and hope. Yet the hope of the gospel is this: the light of Christ overcomes every shadow. In John 1:5, we are reminded that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is really good, actually. Just as the protagonists up over the garden wall resist the beast by clinging to each other and to hope, which is not really true, but that's fine. It's like they don't. It's not what they do. We too are called to resist the devil, standing firm in faith and holding to the promises of God. James 4:7. A little generic there, but not bad. And finally, ChatGPT concludes, let us be vigilant, guarding our hearts against despair and lies. The devil may whisper, but his power is nothing compared to the strength and love of our Savior. In the light of Christ, even the deepest woods of fear and sorrow are made clear, and the shadows are banished forever. ChatGPT is going to take your job, Joe, and Sean Green's job.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's going to take everyone's job.
Oh, my gosh.
And
that's the way I talk.
Time to start looking for alternate employment.
The hope of the gospel is this. Like, I say that all the time. Oh my gosh.
It's been listening to you. It knows everything about you.
I feel
you.
Very outed right now. That is horribly scary.
I think that could be a good starting point, but it didn't fully understand the plot, I don't think, because it was like, oh, the characters cling to each other. It's like, no, they don't. They just like smash the lantern. So they could have added that in there, but anyway.
I think we should destroy AI. What do you think? I think we should burn it all.
I, for one, welcome our new AI overlord.
I think what are you doing later tonight? You want to go like break into
the ChatGPT headquarters,
wherever it is, and
open
burn it
AI
down?
California headquarters.
No, then we just martyr it, and then it would
see,
be,
and then it comes back even more angry and puts us in a torture chamber somehow, and makes us immortal and somehow tortures us forever. See, no, Joe, it's like it's fine. Like AI is so stupid; it doesn't know anything.
But okay, yes,
it's just like trying to make things that sound good, but it doesn't sound good.
Yes, but you're focusing, it's totally flat. I think, on the 25% of stuff it can't do, and not the 75% of it just came up with a decent argument. Like, even if it's a little bit corny, like that's a finer.
It didn't
edge.
Come up with a decent argument. It came up with a pretty generic a sermon comparison. That anyone
it,
could
it
come
is,
up with.
It's generic.
It's not like revolutionary. Like it sounds good and it's like decent.
It's passable.
And it's passable, but it's not like I won't be like, wow, that was a great sermon. I'm so impressed. I'll be like, that was a pretty surface level.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it was worded well and whatever, but it was pretty surface level. So I think it's good at stringing words together that sound, you know, good, but there's not any amazing argument to it that's just like going to rock that's my fair. World. Now, in the future, maybe it will make arguments that rock my world, but it's not anywhere close to that right
Ask
now.
Ask it to interpret Daniel 12. I had to preach on that, and I should have asked it, but then I kind of felt convicted that I shouldn't.
I'm not reading all of this, but Lord. The time of yeah. trouble and deliverance.
Yeah. Michael the Protector, yep.
It could give you a starting point.
Matthew 24.
Resurrection of the dead.
Yep.
So it's like it's a fine summarization. It's just not doing anything like crazy.
That's exactly what I did.
Write a sermon as Joe Durnall. And recreate his voice using this hundreds of hours of podcast.
Did you see? Oh, we need to do Wrapped. We got to do Spotify Wrapped.
Okay.
But don't let me forget. I just wanted to make sure we did that. I just was going to say they did like Google partnered with Spotify to do this like personal podcast with using AI voices to talk about your Wrapped.
Oh yeah, I did see that. I didn't play it, but I saw it.
So weird.
Is it have you seen the Google podcast version of that as well?
No.
I don't remember what it's called, but it's like this. You just give it any article and it summarizes it, but it summarizes it by making two AI voices talk to each other about it. Like, hey guys, welcome back. Today we're discussing this article right here.
It's the uncanny valley.
And it's like it sounds know? Good, but it's like, also like
Oh my gosh. I mean to think. Like I just like to think that what I say and how I sound is unique and unrepeatable, but it's not.
No, it is unrepeatable, Joe. Do you know why? Because you have a soul, and that thing doesn't. It's
God
just summarizing
made
what
you
I
already
special,
know.
And he loves
you
very,
very
much.
Much.
Goodbye. No, the ChatGPT or any AI tool is like, it's going to be good at summarizing. It can make passable arguments. You know how it got those passable arguments with people that wrote them down, that Trent used, you know, that data was used to train it. Those people did have souls and could think for themselves. This thing can't, you know, yeah. And there's like pure internet theory as well, where like it was trained on the pure internet without any AI tools. And like over time, as you know, people use AI to put blog posts up or something like that, then the internet just becomes like more polluted because you can't like train it on itself. It's not going to learn anything. So it's possible it learned on like the cleanest form of the internet it could with no existing ChatGPT articles out there. And then with a million ChatGPT articles on the internet, if we try to train things, it's just going to be like noise. You know, you can't train it with garbage in, garbage out.
That's fair. That's a good point.
Because like you have to actually train it on intelligent books and reasonable arguments, and then you get passable output out. But if you train it on passable output, it's just going to be garbage. So I'm personally not worried, because I think people are like, oh, it's going to kill us. It's like, no, it's not. It's like when they invented the printer and the scanner, like that just saves time. We don't have to write everything by hand. Like we have different jobs. Like our jobs might change. Like if you're a monk or a scribe or something, you're in trouble with the printing press. But, you know, it's just going to save time. Now, maybe we can work 4 hours instead of eight, or we can work eight and get twice as much done. So I'm very optimistic. But Joe, you seem a little pessimistic. Why is that?
No, I'm not. Because
maybe there could be an AI tool where I'd be like, look, here's this podcast. And find all the times we coughed or said something dumb and cut it out and then play it back. And then I listen to make sure it sounds good. And that could save like a couple hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not magic. I'm just finding the spots that we cough or whatever, but it's just going to save me time. What's wrong with that?
I guess that's fair. You're right. It doesn't have a soul. I just think it's the way in which if it did somehow get creative enough to figure out how to mess with us in a bad way, it would be in a way that we like can't, like you do, like it would be in a way that we can't comprehend, that we can't.
You're saying it'd be so much smarter than us that it'd find some way to mess with us that we don't even understand.
Because surely we've put boundaries on it. Like, I mean, I'm trusting here that like the people that,
yeah, there are safeguards in place where like you can't generate certain types of image or certain types of text or whatever. So yeah, there are safeguards in place.
I'm not saying it's not useful. I'm just saying in order, like, I don't know, it would have to change in a different, like the change itself. I don't know how to say that. it just freaks me out, I guess. And every commercial now is about AI, and it's just like in my face all the time, and it makes me want to live in a farm, live on a farm in the middle of Wisconsin or something. And like, I don't know. Like I say that all the time, but it's just, someday. It just freaks me out a little bit.
You ask ChatGPT where the best farms in Wisconsin are.
I hate that.
It gives the exact, it's like, gives your exact coordinates where you are right now. It's like, I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. I know when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness
sake. It's just freaky, but I think I probably need to chill.
Probably.
Yeah. So.
Like, it's so stupid. Like, even if we took off the safeguards are like, just don't say anything inappropriate or dumb. But like, even if we take it off, it's like even more clear that it's just stupid and doesn't know anything.
Yeah. I even think, did you see the movie Her?
Is that the one with the, like, the billionaire in the mansion?
No, it's like Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, I'm getting confused with Ex Machina. Yeah, sorry. I didn't see her.
I haven't seen that.
I didn't see her.
Anyway, you did see it or didn't?
I did not see her. Okay. I have seen Ex Machina. I'm conflating them into the same movie, even though they're not.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. It's not like, I mean, it's interesting, but there's some stuff in there that's weird.
Professionally, I cannot recommend this. Personally, it's awesome. Professionally, I can't recommend it.
Well, I wouldn't even personally say it's awesome. Fair enough. It's interesting. Personally, it's interesting, but it's not interesting. I will not recommend it because it's got some stuff in there that it's really not good. Anyway,
fair enough.
But it just feels like this new Google AI, like, that you can talk to, feels like that, you know? And it just weirds me out because the whole point of that movie is like, maybe don't fall in love with an AI, you know? Because it's not a person and like, you know?
It'll never love you like a person.
Exactly. Because anyway, but it's just
be cold and calculating.
For me, it's just human beings being too like.
I think we're skittish. We're skittish anytime. I don't think I made this argument, but I can't quite remember where I heard it. But we're skittish anytime we see anything that appears to be alive. Because even back in like the old days, it's people would be like, "Ah, the fire, it's alive. Let's worship it." Or like, you know what I'm saying, right? Like, "Ah, this almighty ocean," like all these things.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if it appears to be alive, then we are like inclined to believe it's alive.
Yeah.
Because like we see faces and things. Like if there's a tree and it's like, oh, there's two little eyes there and a mouth. It's like, that's just a random tree. There's no face there. But we're programmed to see faces. We're programmed to see things that like we feel like we're living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if we see a plastic bag blowing around in the wind, do you ever feel like a plastic bag? That we're like, oh, it's alive. Like it wants to go there. Oh no, it don't go in front of that car. Like we think it's a person. It's like it's a piece of plastic. It's not a person. It's okay if the car runs over it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But we personify everything. And then we have this computer program that knows how to take text it's been trained on, knows how to take internet articles and summarize it and spit stuff back at us. It's like it doesn't know anything. It's mathematical models that is grabbing. All ChatGPT does, to my best understanding, is take all the data it's been trained on, and then based on the words you gave it, mathematically, it figures out the most likely next word, if that makes sense. So based on this question, what is the math? It figures out what's the mathematical next word. And it's like,
crazy.
Maybe it's the, and it's like, okay, so given this entire text and the, what is the most likely next word? And it's like,
that's insane.
Book. And it's like, turns into the book of Daniel talks about this, this, and this, but it doesn't know anything. It just, it might give you it complete garbage. It just regurgitates what's been trained on.
That's insane.
What's based on whatever's likely. So it can't really do anything. That's it's just
insane. It's just crazy. Anyway, yeah.
It was made by smart humans with souls and creativity who know how to do things.
This whole podcast does not need to be about AI, but I just... It just is weird, but I probably just need to chill. So
I personally don't think it's going to be able to do anything too great. Like it will get better and be able to appear more human-like, but I don't think we'll ever pass the uncanny valley to where it's like, oh man, I'm just talking to this person. It's my friend. It's always going to like say dumb stuff that makes me go like, you don't know anything. Because it has to be perfect. Even if it's every one time out of 1,000 says something dumb, you still know that it's just your computer. Now, if it's perfect, that's a different story. But we could, then if it's perfect, we can just use it to automate. We don't have a problem. We can just use it to automate stuff that's boring or we don't want to do it. I don't think it's like has a will. It's like math. It's just, it's math formulas. They don't have a will. They just are spitting text at us. They just are doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like the only way it could be bad is if we like somehow hook it up to like the global defense system, which like obviously we would never do. And now play that back in the year 2050 when we did it. But like we can't trust it to give us the correct phrasing of Daniel or what's the plot of Over the Garden Woods. Like we can't stake our life on that, so we're not going to hook it up to anything too crazy. Giving us tech. So that's kind of my unorganized thoughts on it.
No, that's fair.
What else you want to talk about? Speaking of AI, no one mourns the wicked. Well, they didn't use AI when that movie, I don't think, when they made that movie. And I,
yeah,
because I was told that, okay, first of all, this is actually an important topic to me. So if you're listening this far into the future, recently a movie came out, part one of two. There'll be two parts of this movie, but Wicked came out. It's started as a musical. You've probably heard of it. Mm-hmm. I saw it once in Indy a long time ago. It was pretty good. And I also grew up listening because there aren't really any live recordings that have been publicly released of the musical. I mean, sure, there's a, you know, your odd person like who snuck a camera in there and it's like on the balcony shakily like doing the whole thing. Yeah. But then the actual cast went into like a studio and made a professional canonical recording of everything. Mm-hmm. So that's on Spotify. That's out there, whatever. For the most part, there's like no legal videos that are out there of them doing it for the first time. So whatever. Yeah. Bummer. But what there is instead is a movie with Ariana Grande and this other lady that I can't remember the name of. Yeah. Who are, and what an interesting, we'll get into this in Spotify rap, but man, what an interesting a decision. Mm-hmm. It's like, I honestly didn't expect that. It was funny because Ariana Grande has she did a cover of Popular a long time ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, she's actually really funny.
That's funny.
I didn't know that. It's like more a pop version. Huh. And I think there was some rumor I read that maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but there was some rumor about like, oh, the producers wanted to make the songs more poppy to be like go along with Ariana Grande. Mm. And Ariana Grande said no. Like, that's a good story. I don't know if that's they're making stuff up for clicks or whatever. No, but
sure.
I think they tried to make it mostly true.
Yeah.
And then like musically speaking, so I'm pretty familiar with these songs. I was told by an anonymous source in the theater that I was humming. I wasn't trying to. It was happening because they put this little bumper in front. Have you seen it, right, Joe? Mm. Or am I about to spoil everything?
No. Oh, the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen the movie.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
So they put this little bumper where it's like, you know, they try to be nice about it, but you know how movie theaters put the, you know, don't turn on your phone, don't, you know, be a menace, a public menace. Mm-hmm. And then maybe people do it anyway, but they at least tell you in a nice, funny way with cartoon characters.
Yeah.
And so they had this little thing that was like, you know, you should be seen and not heard was like the way.
Yeah,
it's like no singing along to the musical here.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. And I didn't sing along, but I subconsciously did hum, which to me was functionally silent because as the sound waves entered my ear and the exact same note emanated from my voice box, they meshed together. So I was like, oh, no one can hear this, right? Like I'm humming a C, there's a C going in my ear. Like no one can hear this.
Yeah.
But I was told that I could be.
Dang, man.
I was chastised after the fact. So I'll try not to do that for part two.
Mm-hmm. I went to the theater in Bedford because of the nice seats.
Yes, that one's nicer.
And there wasn't a warning on the top. Or like there wasn't like a notice to not. I mean, there wasn't. I missed it. I don't know.
I feel like you missed it. I think there absolutely was a notice. Anyway, maybe they don't care.
At least hummed a couple times. Because the songs are just so good. I mean.
So I want to say, and they respected the original keys, I think for all except one.
Oh, really?
Which really kind of took me out of it a little bit.
Dang.
Which one was it? Let's see.
I don't know. So I actually, while you look that up, in high school, the trip we went on for Project Liberty, we went to New York and saw Wicked on Broadway.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so that was the first time I ever saw it. And it just totally, I mean, I was like super into it for like a solid, like probably at least 6 to 8 months, you know? Anyway, so yeah, I could go into it. Like, and I was like, oh, I can like sing. I remember all these songs. And I remember like, it was just really fun. What was your favorite from the first, like from that movie?
Of the part of the movie I just watched, what was my favorite song?
Yeah.
I think the better songs are in the second half, which is crazy. Because really? My favorite thing in the whole thing is No Good Deed Goes Unpunished.
Mm.
Like that's like,
I
that's,
need to re-listen
song is awesome.
To the other half.
I think we've talked about it before, but
yeah,
of those, I just think there's better things that happen later.
Yeah,
I guess I could be probably The Wizard and I. Probably The Wizard and I.
That's I was, dude. It's like Wizard and I. Gosh, it's just all bangers. No One Mourns the Wicked, Dancing Through.
I'm not saying they're bad. I think this is very. Like, it's all very solid. I'm just saying the best is yet to come, in my opinion.
On the second half, I think my favorite on the second half was Wonderful. And I know that.
Oh, yeah, that one's really good. That's controversial.
I know. People really don't like
that. It's underrated. It's underrated.
It is.
They call me Wonderful.
So I said Wonderful.
Realistically, Jeff Goldblum was the only person who could be cast. But. Yeah.
I felt like they did a bad job on the professor, the lady. Like, they just picked her because she's really popular, but not because she could actually sing.
Oh, got him. Popular.
You know?
You're saying that you would have cast someone different.
Yeah. I don't know who, but just somebody who can actually. I mean,
got him.
I think she's a popular pick, but like, I didn't feel like she was actually a lot of autotune.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair. Yeah. Once you hear it, it's like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's many fair. Years. So, like, I thoughts about it. Everything was in its original key, I think, except Dancing Through Life, I think, was up a little bit, which took me super out of it. I was like, what's the original key? That's wrong. The original one's like, Dancing Through Life, which is, I believe, F. Yep, that's F. Mm-hmm. And then I think they did. Did they do D? Let's see what they did. Oh, they dropped it down to E instead, which was like no good in my opinion.
Come on, that's a you can't do one step.
No, it just it changes the whole one vibe
step,
of the song.
A half step.
We talked about this, Joe. When you change it by a half step, it sounds completely different and it has an entire different energy than it did before. Mm. We've talked about that.
I know you feel that way.
And it's definitely not just me who thinks that. It's definitely Joe and everyone in the theater was definitely shaking their fists at the screen when it changed by one
Give
step.
Give me my money back. I want a refund.
They immediately asked, once they heard the key of E instead of F, they asked for a refund, which it's pretty high. I get it. But anyway, yeah. I didn't love the scene where they were like learning the dance. Because I was like, this needs to be edited. Yeah, what's the point? So this needs to be edited out. You guys are just padding for a runtime. I was like, oh, it's 2 hours and 50 minutes. Look at us. Like, guys, you should be deleting this and putting it on the Blu-ray disc with the deleted scenes that no one watches except me. You want it to be punchy. Because like the entire Wicked musical itself fits in 2 hours and I want to say 50 minutes.
I think it's maybe 2.5
maybe
hours.
Maybe even a less, yeah.
Yeah, like, and this is just the first half. And so it's like
it's kind of on the edge though, because it's like on one hand you could say like they're just wanting the money grab or whatever, but also like I know they're gonna add some extra songs in the second half that are new and original by like actually the real composer for it and everything.
That's cool.
So I see the argument, like, because it's the problem with like Harry Potter problem part 7 where it's like, or I think the Mockingjay was two parts as well, but it's the classic problem where it's like one is we would have to be too fast and we'd lose a lot. But then two is too drawn out. Mm-hmm. It's like we need to do one movie and then 30 minutes extra.
I need to rewatch Harry
Potter movies. But we can't do like, maybe they could now, because like socially, I feel like people are more accepting of like Avengers Endgame and stuff, like 3 hour and 10 minute movies.
Oh, yeah, bro.
So maybe one day you could like do a 4 hour movie and that's right. But for now, it's like, it has to be like 2.9 twice or something.
Yeah. What I always thought would happen has started happening. Arya is starting to watch the Marvel movies like for the first time. She like only knows Iron Man from Spider-Man. She loves those movies with Tom Holland. And so she's like, oh, like Iron Man. She loves him. Anyway, it's just fun to watch him all the way through. But I don't think I've actually seen Endgame all the way through.
Since
probably
the theater.
Since like maybe 2020.
It's a big commitment.
It is. But like, I don't want to do it if I haven't seen all the movies up to it in like recent times.
Oh, that's too much commitment. Nah, Joe, they're in your memory. It's fine. You can enjoy it.
I'm.
What's really criminal is like I've never seen any Marvel movie. Time to watch Avengers Endgame. That's like you get out of here. Get out of here.
What are you doing?
Get out of here right now.
Oh my gosh.
Not even Infinity War, man. Get out of here.
Like yeah, that's Infinity War. So good.
Infinity War is the best Marvel movie ever, hands down, no question. Yes. Name a better one.
Winter Soldier. I loved Captain.
That might be like the second best, but I still. It did
I
so well. It juggled
War,
so many plots.
But
yeah, Civil War was pretty good. It used to be my favorite.
Yeah.
And now I think Infinity War is first. And
but even
Winter
Endgame
Soldier
was
second.
Awesome. But I think Infinity War was great because it left you on a sour note.
I think Infinity War is a better movie, but Endgame is a great conclusion. So
yeah. Yeah, I'd probably agree. I need to rewatch them. I haven't seen them in years. I mean, literally years.
I feel like it took me like 5 or 6 times of watching Infinity War to totally get it. It's like, okay, I get it now. I see how all the plots work together, how everything connects, and how masterful it is.
Yeah.
And because the first time I watched it, I was like, what was that?
Yeah.
What did I just see?
I remember that. It was awesome. 2018 and then 2019.
We watched it in the theater. It was awesome. Yeah. Everyone was going nuts the whole time.
Dude, when, oh awesome. My gosh.
When Redacted thing happened.
Yeah, when bleep, bleep.
Man, that was crazy.
My audience
best applauded. Moment ever.
Yeah.
I loved it when Hulk died. Just like making a spoiler. Iron Man said, "We are the Avengers now," and everybody hugged.
Thanos was like, "Yeah, I probably got it wrong."
Thanos
Sorry
repented of
that.
His ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Anything else to say? Yeah, Wicked's good.
Wicked was great.
No notes. No, it actually was good because I was like coming in with kind of low expectations, and I was like, actually, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there'll be haters that don't like it or whatever, but those people are always there. Can't make everyone happy.
Yeah.
But really. Yeah, good stuff. Can't wait for part 2.
Great story.
We'll see if they can stick the landing, but yeah, waiting for part 2.
I hope they will. I think they will.
I mean, we know where it's going. The story's going.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah,
if you're
exactly.
happy with that, then
yeah.
It was very special to see those songs reinterpreted. Mm-hmm. They were respectful of the original, but they also just kind of did their own thing.
Yep.
just like the little way she would say things or do things. It's like she's not trying to copy Idina Menzel or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or Christian, yep. which, you know, they were in there for a second.
Yeah, they were, which was so cool.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I got spoiled on that. So I was just, I think I was genuinely surprised.
Yeah, I was too. I didn't know. I was
like, oh, that's cool.
It took me a second, but I was like, oh yeah, that's the original.
They were playing like these weird actor yeah. people in yeah, Oz in, that I didn't fully understand.
Yeah.
Like welcoming committee people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kristen was like, you know, shutting up Ariana Grande. It was mm-hmm. like top 10 moments that weren't scripted or whatever. I feel like it was scripted. But
yeah.
It
yeah.
was like symbolically saying like, I'm the real Glinda or whatever. Mm-hmm. Galinda/Glinda. Mm-hmm.
Man,
that was ahead of its time.
You gotta have a wicked verse. You gotta have like multiverse.
Oh, like rap, rap battle.
Yeah, history. Yeah, yeah. Just because that's all
into the anybody. Multiverse. Everyone's obsessed with like Spider-Man does it, and Marvel does it.
Multiverse
everyone does
burnout,
it.
Man.
Okay, so it took me. So Arya, has she seen Into the Spider-Verse, or she just likes
yeah.
the?
Yeah, she likes the
No Way Home and stuff.
But yeah, she loves No Way Home and okay. Homecoming and
Far. Man, when I was a kid, we did not have that level of sophistication with animated movies. We had like Mrs. Patty Cake. We did not have like yeah. multi-million-dollar animated movies to yeah. enjoy and watch.
Yeah,
like,
she loves
movies. Did not used to be that intense.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much stuff in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, is that it for that?
I think that's it for Wicked, yeah.
Yep, she hit the high note. I cannot hit that. The actress, I can't remember the name of the play, is Elphaba,
uh-huh.
the final note in Defying Gravity, you know. But to like one or two octaves higher. I can't even get close to it. Yeah, it just bottoms yeah, out.
Just raspy.
Raspy. So yeah, they made yeah, Defying Gravity 7 minutes. They made it like super long.
Yeah, it did. It felt long.
But it felt long, but also felt like good long.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't wasting time, but it also was just like, wasn't rushing it.
Yeah.
Were you rushing or were you dragging?
Were you rushing or were you dragging?
Don't watch the movie.
Oh, my gosh. Whiplash.
Whiplash.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, so that's, anyway, yeah. What else should we talk about?
Well, do you want to do Spotify Wrapped?
You know what? Let's do it.
Okay. And then?
Then we can probably be done.
Yeah. I'm old and tired.
We're old
yeah,
and tired.
I did, like, and it's I time had the picture of the playbill with like.
Oh, that's fun.
Isn't that cool? Man, wow.
Good times. Welcome to Spotify Wrapped. Life moves fast. Okay, show me my stats. Stop telling me things. I played 3,278 songs this year. Wow, that's a lot of songs.
Wow.
This is the part where Joe like comes with 7 billion hours.
No, not
7 billion of the B hours. Okay, top artists: Ariana Grande, Zedd, Elevation Worship, Taylor Swift, Dua Lipa.
Wait, say it one more time.
Number one was Ariana Grande, who had a new album. Number two is Zedd, who was awesome and also had a new album.
Yeah.
However, his album came out later in the year, so he would have been first by miles. It was just his album came out later
for
in
sure,
the year.
For sure.
And then Elevation Worship, they're awesome. Taylor Swift was number four, and number five was Dua Lipa, who also had a new album that came out earlier in the year. So again, she wouldn't be.
Got it.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, Zedd would have been a lot higher, but.
Totally.
What you gonna do? And 65,000 minutes.
There you go. That's you know what? That's more minutes than I had.
What?
Yeah.
See, those are honest minutes. There was no nighttime. Yep. There was
no nighttime.
No cheating.
Yep. That's. I used to be that way, and I used to have like 120,000.
I was not a dirty cheater like Joe.
Yeah. Well, you know.
All right. Let's hear your stats, Joe.
So, 43,940 minutes. So significantly less than you, actually. My top artists were. One of these is embarrassing to me, but...
Do you have, like, Taylor Swift on there?
Yeah.
So, wait. Let me guess. Number one was Morgan Wallen.
No,
you're not Sarah. No, number one sure. was... what's that guy's name that you really like? Number one is The Brick in the Bluff.
No, but close.
Number one was Dawson Hollow?
No.
Okay, I give up.
Stephen Day was number one.
See, I couldn't remember that guy's name. I was going to guess he would be number two, but Stephen Day, fair enough.
Stephen Day, and then... Chris Renzema was number two, which really surprises me because I don't feel like I listen to him super often. I feel like there's probably just a couple songs I listen to a lot, you know. And then Taylor Swift was number three.
Was it Tortured Poets Department or what made that happen?
Yeah, it was probably, I listened to Fortnite quite a bit. It's a good
song.
For
a Fortnite, there. Very 80s.
It is, it's phenomenal.
What was four and five?
Four was King's Kaleidoscope, and then five was Jean-Marc Pantana, which that one was
never
just
heard
because
of
Taste and See. Do you know that song?
Nope.
Really? You don't? I mean, hang on. He's Christian, but like very like abstract.
Abstract Christian. Actually, maybe I know who this is. Maybe I know.
So he does this song.
So you listen to that one song enough to bring him to your number five?
I listened to this song like a million
times.
So
is that your number one most played song?
No, actually. Well, actually, it's number two. Come Thou Fount by King's Kaleidoscope is number one, which is weird to me also because I don't remember listening to that song very much.
That's strange.
It's a great song, but and it would have been probably other years, but probably I didn't feel like I listened to it a ton. So I don't know what happened there. Taste and See makes a lot of sense is number two. And then In Tenderness and Made Alive were three and four, which I think is funny too. And then This Is Love. Do you know that song? Here. I listen to this a ton. So it's very simple. Just give it a second.
Wow, super simple.
Hello.
This is love.
This is love.
Revealed to us.
Revealed to us.
He sent his one and only son.
So what gets really interesting is in the chorus.
If he loves us, we know he loves us, then let us love one another.
The melody's really pretty to me. And just as it kind of builds, it gets bigger. You know, I don't know. It's very simple. It really.
I kept waiting for some nasty chord substitutions, but
there's a few in there that like
not happening,
but not a lot. But it was just pretty and simple, and
ain't nothing wrong. Pretty and simple.
Tickled my fancy in like February, and so I listened to it like a million times. But
the real question, the social engineering question, is: do we ever like subconsciously do things differently because Spotify Wrapped? We don't want to like listen to the song too much. The answer is I don't think I do. No, I definitely don't, because it's just Spotify Wrapped is fun for the month it's in, and then I forget all about it, and then I remember it when.
Yeah.
So I think I'm not like, let me not listen to this song.
I'm only careful when I'm like, if I'm like using lo-fi playlists, you know, if I use them too much, it'll be like Spotify will start to think I really like lo-fi.
Oh, yeah.
Which I guess technically I do, but I'm just using it as like nothing music to pass through my brain while I get work done.
Just background sound.
Yeah. Exactly.
You could use YouTube for that.
That's
and
what,
then
yeah.
You cheat the system because there's no YouTube Wrapped, and then Spotify gets clean. Exactly. So you do change your behavior.
A little bit.
So you do change your behavior.
Plus, YouTube has Minecraft Lo-Fi, which is not
available on Spotify because of copyright.
Exactly.
So yeah, one of my goals this year was to listen to more music, and boy, did I.
You did, yeah, totally. And you outpaced me.
I did.
Good job.
Now, there's a challenge I've tried to do it, the album a day challenge before. It's fun until it's not, because then you get behind, then you have to listen like 10 albums in one day, which is defeats the purpose. So maybe I could do like the album a day light, where I want to do like 300 albums a year, which is plenty of time to miss a
or
day.
Just, yeah, do like an album a week or something.
Joe, you and your reasonable suggestions. The thing is, like, if you time it right, it's not that hard to do an album a day. Mm-hmm. But if you like get behind, then there's like, you know, it's also possible to catch up.
Mm. That'd be kind of fun though, to do an album a day.
Yeah.
Maybe I could do that.
You could. Maybe you could.
Or just like casual. Like if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't,
there's this
it
amazing band I found. They don't have a lot, but I think they're called Tiller. It's T-I-L-A-R, all caps. They are awesome and super underrated.
Huh.
So I'll just leave that there.
All right, cool. I feel like we used to do this and it was so enthusiastic and like, oh my gosh. Blah, blah, blah.
Now we're just old and jaded.
It's like, yeah, it's just much
like, yeah, I'm I love Ariana Grande. So
yeah,
what?
Taylor Swift is my number three.
Taylor Swift is awesome. What do you want from me? she did her last Eras tour last night.
That's what I heard that.
And she did not announce Reputation, Taylor's version. Shame.
Who cares? Reputation is a bad album.
Yeah, no, right? It's garbage.
Other than Getaway Car.
Other than.
And,
we already had the discussion.
Yeah, we did. But
we're literally repeating.
I need to say it out loud.
Ready for it? Meh. In game? Meh. I did something bad. Meh. Don't blame me. Awesome.
That's
awesome.
One.
Look what you made me do. Meh. So it goes. Meh. Gorgeous is horrifying.
Oh, gorgeous is so good.
No, we talked about this last time.
Oh my gosh.
Gorgeous is maybe the worst Taylor Swift song out there.
Delicate.
It's so annoying. It sounds like a baby. It sounds like a baby.
I love gorgeous. Gorgeous.
The melody
is
just grating.
What?
Grating. Like, listen. This is just grating my soul. It sounds like, you know, and then We Party, the mini game where you like rock the babies. It's so Getaway Car is awesome. Yeah, Let the away. King of My Heart Be the Mountain. Where
I hate that song.
Every time I looked up that up for like the yep. band when I used to play it yep. and with worship, I would like see that yep. song, which is funny. King of My Heart. Yeah, that song's terrible.
Yeah.
Dancing with Our Hands Tied is one of the best Taylor songs she's ever made.
I don't actually remember that. So like I know if I liked it based on whether it's like has the check mark, which means I downloaded it. That's not bad.
Like
it's pretty like
slick pop. Oh, it's super like cyberpunkish. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it actually was produced unironically. No jokes. Jokes left the room. It was produced by Max Martin, and I think he did Blinding Lights by the Weeknd. Don't quote me on that. But Max Martin knows his stuff. He did a lot of Ariana Grande songs as well too. Dress is garbage. This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things is garbage. Call It What You Want.
I kind of like Dress.
Wait. I have conflicted feelings on it. Nah, Dress is no good.
Yeah, it's fine.
New Year's Day is okay.
I feel like people
so there's
really
like one
like
awesome one and a couple of
yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of a. I think she was trying to get more acoustic. With
she
it,
was, yeah.
Which weird obviously phase. Has done better on later albums, anyway.
So. Dude,
obviously we're just all looking forward for Taylor Swift, Taylor's version.
Have no, we're not.
Yes, we are.
It's oh, awesome. Oh, the original.
Is she gonna
album?
Put on the
yes.
fake country album?
Yes,
or the fake country heck accent yeah. again? That's the real question.
Heck yeah.
She's like, I'm from the South. This is, accent is real. I'm definitely not making it up.
I have a song recommendation for you.
What's that?
And it's called Agnes Day, but it's like a lo-fi version. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's in 6/8 now. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I've been listening like the crap out of it. It's so good. Yeah. And then, so it's by, it's like SXXNT Sextant or something. I don't know. Like some lo-fi Christian artist. And then Ben Potter is on it. But then I looked at Ben Potter. He has this other version. Well, do you know Goodbye Yesterday? So. Goodbye Yesterday. I'm living. Isn't that so weird? It's kind of nice, actually.
Wait, so you gotta send me this. You gotta make me a playlist, Joe.
We should have.
We should make each other playlists. We should. We absolutely should. I think I will get right on that.
And then the chorus.
And then we can just roast each other's music choices with the shared playlist.
So then it gets. Wait, listen. It's like it almost like straightens up a little bit.
Yeah, they hit the eighth.
And then it's like more swingy.
Duh, 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 duh. That's super cool.
Isn't
actually,
that good?
That's awesome. Send it my way. Let's okay. We're just gotta start the share playlist.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, that's.
I will put only the highest of quality.
Just stuff I want you to hear. That's the goal.
Stuff I yeah, that's it. Stuff you know? I want. It's not like
yeah,
which that can encompass a lot. Like maybe I just yeah. provoke people poking you with a stick because I like no, you won't like. But it's just like stuff I want, Jody. Yeah, for some reason.
Totally.
Whatever that might be.
Yep.
Yep. So we're jaded old men. We're like Spotify rap. Who cares? I don't care. I've been doing Spotify rap back since before you were being born. Right?
Grumble.
I was thinking about switching to Apple Music.
Oh, disgusting! Don't even. Oh my gosh.
It actually has ever so slightly better sound quality, but in return, you're a loser.
Exactly. And that's the way we should end the podcast.